watching the One Piece.
We are!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to We Are Watching One Piece, the One Piece weekly recap watch podcast for the only show titled One Piece for now, until Netflix's One Piece Kai comes out. I want to know more info
the
on that.
The One Piece.
Because the One Piece. I hope more information comes out about that soon so people have, like, a more clear idea of what it is.
Yeah, there were some people I know when it first was announced, the way it was phrased, people were like, oh, they're going to use AI in this shit. And now the only time I see it bring up, I saw it brought up a lot a couple weeks ago. Whenever Sanji got thrown like a softball, people were like, please, can we get rid of the anti-Sanji agenda in the One Piece? Since apparently Toei has it out for him, which I, of course, disagree with. I am anti-Sanji. Throw him around like the beautiful softball boy he is. I'm fine with that. Remember when that happened? We've been in this room talking about backstory for a while, and it's like, they were just fighting baby Jinbei, but he was strong as hell. So quickly we move on from these things, such as, I guess, the nature of watching an anime weekly. Also, I want to point out that the dub has gotten to Gear 5.
Oh.
And they made Luffy do Woody Woodpecker voice.
That is really funny.
Quite an inspired choice for Luffy to go.
That's really good. Honestly, it kind of works if you want to put in like some of the like goofy laughter he has.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good way to adapt what the Japanese voice is doing.
And also really funny because who's gonna get the reference these days? Will anyone under like the age of 20 get it?
I don't know. Well, yeah, Gen Alpha. I don't know what their touchstone is for Woody the. I mean, I feel like it was before my time. But the only reason I know what it is because like I watched old shit when I was a child. That Onion article. It's like cool parent introduces kid to cool stuff, alienating them from their age group.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I watched Boomerang, and I remember when stuff that I watched new ended up on Boomerang. It made me feel old at like age 12. When's One Piece gonna be on Boomerang? What if they started showing like East Blue?
They should just have like a One Piece channel on premium cable.
Yeah,
it just starts from the it just starts from the beginning, and that's all it is. And then the commercials it has are for One Piece. Once they get to the end, they just start over.
We are in an era of like YouTube channels basically doing that, or like YouTube streams that are just like Rick and Morty 24/7.
Yeah.
When I boot up my smart TV, or I guess the Google TV, which is separate, there is always like a recommendation where it's like, you want to watch Dressrosa? It's streaming. It's live. And I'm like, I don't know that I do right now, but just Gear 4 Luffy on my TV at all times. And I'm like, yeah, Bellamy's still bouncing, I bet. This episode starts, there's no recap at the beginning of this episode.
No.
It starts off in flashback of Ohara, I believe it was 22 years ago, several months after Buster Call. And we pick up, I think, we took a week off because the show did.
Yeah. Thinking that it's because of Toriyama's passing?
Yeah, I don't know if there was an official posting about it. I guess we both missed it, but that seems to be what everyone seems to just kind of being agreeing is probably what it was.
If you missed it, Oda's statement on Toriyama was nice.
It was, yeah.
It was,
I mean, everybody has been like, it's like the most beloved man.
Yeah,
for any mangaka.
The section of Oda's, what he's just like, yeah, the one part that sticks out to me the most was the first time he called me his friend. It's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'll get you. We always talked about doing Dragon Ball, and this is the most I've ever been like, oh, maybe we should.
That's how we'll fill in break weeks.
Yeah, we just watch like an episode, one episode of Dragon Ball. Not Kai either, so it takes forever.
Not Kai and original, starting from original Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about doing a Dragon Ball thing on Patreon this month, so we might do that.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is that I think this might have been where we left off with, like, the image of Vegapunk at O'Hara.
Yeah.
More or less.
With, like, his silhouette.
Big-ass head. He's, like, twice the height of Dragon at age 33. Now I gotta look up how tall Dragon is. He's 8'5".
Oh, of course.
Obviously, yeah. Well, he's in his 50s, so.
Luffy got his height from his mother, apparently. Must have.
Whoever she is. She, I guess, maybe died young and she's not tall. It does seem like people get taller the longer they grow. That is quite literally true for Vegapunk.
That is.
Dragon, who was voiced by Dan Green in 4Kids.
Oh.
I just watched, I watched so much of Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series at an impressionable age that now, like, Dan Green basically reads to me like a punchline. And I'm like, that's just a man's name.
Did Dragon have enough voice lines for him to have a voice cast in 4Kids?
He would have had like 5 lines with Smoker in Lowtown.
Okay.
But that would be it. Because I don't even know. I couldn't tell you when he shows up in between that and like Marineford.
I don't think he does. Stuff. Except for showing up in openings?
What's interesting about the wiki here is that it's showing, there is a picture of him at age 41. And he has the tattoo. He does not have the tattoo in this flashback where it says he's aged 33.
How old? I want to know when he gets the tattoo. How old was he? Was it after Luffy was born? He went, I gotta fulfill my dream of being a SoundCloud rapper. Goodbye, Luffy. I'm getting a face tattoo. I'll never see you again.
Yeah, probably. I'm trying to remember if he had a tattoo when he picked up Sabo. I don't recall. I'd have to look it up, but I don't care that much. But anyways. He's here, by the way. And he's also here at O'Hara. Vegapunk's big-ass head is here. He's also tall to begin with. Like, when you see him standing next to Luffy, he has long fucking legs. So that just... He's still taller than Luffy after he trims it up. But yeah, so he's going to O'Hara. He talked about this last time. Granted, this is being relayed to, like, half the Straw Hats through Shaka, the Daft Punk good one. Like, I didn't miss podcasting about Kingdom Hearts. Now I have 7 characters named Vegapunk. These are all the different Xehanorts. They have to collect all of them to get to the real Vegapunk. Vegapunk is here, and he sees that all the books were saved. They were thrown into the water, which I don't know if it was directly mentioned. It was shown visually in the last time we were looking at this in the episode. But we get a better look at some of the giants that are saving them out of the water.
Yeah, Hyrieden's here.
Hyrieden's here. Everyone remembers him. And the other guy who I'm like 90% sure is from Water 7, but I don't remember his name. And then there's a woman. Is this the first woman we've ever seen be a giant? Not counting, obviously, Big Mom.
I can't remember if we saw any women when Big Mom, with like Big Mom's flashbacks, because, and it's something that I realized with this is that giant men have like, they look like giants, like they have like extra pronounced like features, like bigger arms and like bigger proportions. Giant women are just like Oda's women, but big. Yeah, they're just taller. They're just a force perspective bigger. they shoot the scenes like they did Lord of the Rings.
yeah. Luffy's a hobbit. That's why he's so small.
You just put the animation cell closer to the camera. This is how animation works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like that filler character who could turn into a giant.
No, she was a giant. She could make herself small.
Oh, my mistake. That's a good bit, to be fair.
It is.
It's funnier that way than the other way around. But anyways, yeah. So Dragon's also here, and he also brought flowers because he was like close to Clover, he says. Which, of course, why not?
Yeah, of course.
Vegapunk's like, hey, what's up with these giants, though? Do they know how important these books are? And Dragon says, yeah, no, they do. They have a captain. I talked to their captain. He's like this strange bandaged man who wants to preserve the history. He doesn't want it to be erased. My question is, did you immediately know from the silhouette they show you?
Yes, I was like, oh, that's all. I was like, oh, well, like two things happened. One, I was like, oh, that's Saul. And then the other was, well, the giants have all the books. They have to go to Elbaf next. Like, that's where they're going. Yeah. They have to go because Vegapunk he's not dumb enough to just keep all the, he's not going to go, hey, give me the books so I can have them. Or he's not going to duplicate the books.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't run them through a printer.
So he could keep them because he knows better. But then this is skipping ahead, but with the reveal of the punk.
Take pictures with your iPhone and turn it into a PDF. I've done that.
Is what he talked about, what Punk Records was, is like, oh, fuck, this is probably why they're sending Lucci. Like, the world government knows that he has all this knowledge now, huh? They finally figured it out, so they gotta go stop him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're connecting some dots. In this episode, Vegapunk does say, yeah, I read all of O'Hara's books, yeah, and I invented the internet, and it ends with Lucci saying, I'm going to kill this man. Yeah. So we'll see how any of that plays out. Luckily, Luffy's here. What good luck that Luffy came here. But yeah, Saul is good, man. What else happens in this flashback? Oh, I guess we learn a little bit more about Dragon's, I guess, perspective, because this is the death of Clover and, I guess, O'Hara is what motivates him to actually put together a revolutionary army. Like, he's like, he talks about having freedom fighters right now. He's talking to Vegapunk, and it's fucked up that you joined the government when you wouldn't join my crew of freedom fighters. And Vegapunk's like, what the fuck am I going to accomplish with you idiots? You don't have any money.
You do not have money or resources. I can't be the smartest man in the world.
What the hell am I going to research with you? How to get by on ice soup? Idiots. And Dragon's like, all right, fair enough.
Dragon, why did you go into natural sciences instead of sociology? He's like, I don't care about political sciences or sociology. Leave me alone. That's a gay and doesn't make any sense. This is real.
This is real. So I went into business. You know, as a film major, everyone talks about that being the slacker degree. No, business is the slacker degree. Guess what? You take any other major, you learn about the business of that industry. What the hell do you learn in business school?
The tweet that's like, you could go to a business, walk by any like 300 level business class, and the teacher will be pointing at the whiteboard saying like profits minus cost equals surplus or something, and everyone's scribbling it down like it's serious information.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I took economics in high school, and I think I got it good. They didn't teach me how to do my taxes though. They could have done that. That's what Vegapunk's trying to teach everybody, is how to do their own taxes. And Lucci's like, I can't let this get out. I have to kill him. He's like, no, if they're taking you away from the free file. You have to stay on the free file path. That's what O'Hara was destroyed for as well. Anyways, it's after O'Hara's destruction that Dragon teams up with Ivankov and Kuma. Like, those are the three guys who team up. So also, I guess, you know, piece this in with Kuma's backstory timeline as well. What else? Vegapunk's like, but you hate war. And Dragon's like, doesn't matter. It's too late. They brought the war to me.
You know, sometimes a man has to bend on his principles to stop evil, all-seeing world government.
Yeah. What if Dragon just straight up said, like, nonviolence only works if the oppressor has a conscience? The world government doesn't have one. He just looks into the camera and says it.
He's gonna debate the elders, mm-hmm, and win.
5-hour debate video. Dragon roasts one of the elders so hard that the other elders start laughing at him. These are topical references, everybody. Back in Shock is explaining this stuff to. It's funny because he says like, "I am doing all this," but then the flashback you see Big Head Vegapunk. And then you go back to the president of Shock saying, like, yeah, I did all that. It's like, yeah, you got to remind yourself how this works. Yeah, back in the present, basically everybody gets their own little reaction shot. Sanji's like, I didn't realize Ivankov was one of the founding members. Nami's like, Dragon sounds so cool.
We gotta team up with Luffy's dad and have him hang out with his son. Surely they want to work together.
Obviously, yeah. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen with these two. This is like maybe my biggest question mark regarding like the things that are left to happen in One Piece. And granted, Oda keeps surprising me. Like, chapter that came out this weekend, kind of fucking insane. But and we'll get there in a year, I guess. It just keeps happening. But with Dragon, I'm like, what even is the right satisfying answer with that relationship or lack thereof?
Yeah,
I trust Oda, but I just have no clue. Yeah, everyone gets their own little reaction shot, and Shaka responds to zero of them. Usopp asks about Elbaf. Franky says, I don't understand why Kuma helped us. Why did you modify him? No answer to those things. Which makes me wonder if they're anime only. Like, maybe they don't ask those questions in the manga, and that's why there's no answer. but I honestly would believe it either way if they asked it in the manga and still don't answer it. Robin mentions not knowing the dragon was so close with Clover, and this is when Vegapunk Shaka is like, yeah, I just went to Elbasm and read everything on my own, and I don't think he mentions that Saul was there.
No.
But you see it in the flashback.
But Robin knows who he's talking about. She's like, hey,
yes.
What was this giant? Did he happen to be Jaguar Saul? He's like, yes. She's like, yes, thank you.
Yeah, she cries happy tears, and it's like, it was previously like, is this the best manga panel I've ever seen? Robin getting to cry out of happiness learning that Saul is alive. Anime lives up to that. She's so happy, and all the other Straw Hats are happy that she's happy. I also like, Shaka's answer isn't like, oh yeah, he's alive. She's like, is it Saul? And he's like, he's hiding now, and I'm not allowed to tell anybody. And then he starts to walk away.
Yeah.
she thanks him for everything that they've been doing to preserve Ohara. And he's like, yeah, I care about knowledge. It's like, it's not out of kindness. It's just out of like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Not learn everything? For the good Vegapunk, he's a little edgy. He starts to walk off, a door opens, and then all of them are dragged by their shoes. He's like, I can't actually release you, but come on, I gotta show you shit. And there's the eye catch, which means it's time to go to the snack zone. The snack zone!
We're here, we're back. It's in the zone for snacks. We don't have a vending machine for the snacks, but I'm hoping that that someday they will provide that. And I also, midway through that, realized it almost sounded like I was coming in with a bad corporate rap song. And I'm not clever enough to come up with the Tokyo Treat Sakura Co. snack rap. But
that's a much higher tier. They'd have to pay us quite a bit, I think, for that.
If they want to provide one, I will do my best. If they want to provide the copy, I will try and do it. That is my promise to them.
Get in the zone, the snack zone, trademarked to our podcast. We're back with our Tokyo Treat and Sakura Co. boxes. And you might remember last month we talked about all of the wonderful Sakura cherry blossom season treats. Well, guess what? I'm going to read this directly from the ad copy. Did you know that the beauty of Sakura can be enjoyed not only during the day, but also at night?
I hadn't even considered. That's awesome.
Known as Yozakura.
If they didn't provide, I don't know if I would have gotten that. These are more of the nighttime theme treats, unless they said so. I would have been like, oh, there's just so much Sakura that they needed to provide it again.
It is still Sakura season.
It is.
And also, that's fair. You got the Tokyo Treat box, which the theme is Sakura Matsuri Snack Fest. The Sakura Co. box is a night of Sakura. So that one a little more, little more understandable. But yes, we got two more boxes this month. What's funny is, so I got the Sakura Co. box. I got a Sakura Castella cake, which I got last month in the Tokyo Treat, which was pretty exciting to be like, oh, good, this was good last time. I'm excited to have this again. There's a blueberry hibiscus tea that pairs with a lot of stuff. Sakura cream cookie, some Chizarare shoyu corn puffs. It's a lot of, you know, more handcrafted stuff. And then the booklet talks about not just the cultural relevancy and also, but like for the Sakura Co., some of the like ways in which this stuff is crafted. We got a nice little Sakura glass this month as the tableware item. There was Sakura cashew nuts, which were good. We got mochi, and my partner had a breakthrough where they realized the difference between mochi and daifuku, and I was like, yeah, they're two different guys.
One of the guys is exponentially more powerful, and we will probably see him again.
Yeah, and he's the one that doesn't have bean paste inside of him. I mean, a genie. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what he's going for with that, but that does work.
It does work. I'm stretching it much like Mochi does. We also got some strawberry manju, which is like a nice little cake treat with like a strawberry paste inside of it. And then the white chocolate strawberries, which is like a ball of white chocolate with a strawberry inside of it, like freeze dried. Crunchier than you'd expect, but quite good. And you can go check out our Twitter videos if you want to see like the Sakura glass and some of the other stuff. But Jory, why don't you talk about that Tokyo Treat Box?
Yeah, it's got the Sakura Matsuri Snack Fest. A lot of the info inside the booklet is about like some of the like festivals and stuff they'll do around this time. Featuring one of my favorite panels in it is talking about there's a lot of anime characters named Sakura, if you didn't know. And then it has like Sakura from Naruto and Cardcaptor Sakura, and then a bunch of characters I don't recognize.
Where's Ichigo? Does he count?
You know, they better mention him if they make a strawberry themed box, which is kind of what the Christmas one was.
Where is Ichigo at Christmas time?
There was, of course, you've got the mandatory Kit Kats, which are just like a regular strawberry, which I've realized that each Kit Kats I have gotten have been some kind of strawberry. The first one is chocolate strawberry, and then strawberry shortcake, and now just regular strawberry.
I mean, that sounds good. I'm not complaining about that.
One of my favorites, the Corinto. They've got Sakura Corinto, which it has like the slight like pink glaze, and it still tastes like the nice little donut sticks that I really liked. My girlfriend really liked Koikea Nori Shio chips, which are like a salty chip covered in like seaweed flakes that have a really like umami flavor. Ramune candy. So, you know, the ramune drinks. Well, now they made it in candy.
That sounds interesting.
Instead of ramen, I actually got yakisoba this time.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I also really liked the Ace Rolla cherry juice. Had like a nice like sweet and sour to it. Still holding out for a cola, but this is a nice little drink to go alongside all these snacks that come in the box.
Yeah, they're Frankie branded colas. So the other thing in the booklet that I don't think we've mentioned yet is that it has all the allergen info.
Oh yeah,
because like if it's vegetarian safe or what other things it might contain, which is great next to all the different cultural and informational stuff that you get in there. But yeah, again, I guess we'll mention that we'll post some videos up on Twitter of us going through our boxes. If you want to get one of your own of these, you can get $5 off one of your own boxes if you want to try one of these specific two themed boxes that we're trying. You can go to the links. They're in the notes of the episode as well, but team.tokyotreat.com/watchingonepiece and team.sakura.co/watchingonepiece. Either one of those, and then use code JORYJOE, all caps, JORYJO, no space. $5 off your first box of either of those. But yeah, I think that's all for the snack zone this week. And now we'll go back to, I don't know, what's going on this week? Vegapunk?
Vegapunk is going back to working out at the library.
Oh, yes. Upload your pictures of your own boxes to Punk Records if you get one. That's the joke I'll make. All right. So after the eye catch, welcome back from the snack zone. Back outside, we go back to the scrap heap where Luffy is. He's like flying around and he's like, I'm like Sanji. Hee. Which makes me wonder, he must be talking about Sanji kicking the air. Because I'm not sure that Luffy has ever seen Soba Mask. The nature of Wano is such that I don't know what Luffy has genuinely interacted with and seen, or anyone for that matter. But if he had seen Soba Mask, I don't think he knows that's Sanji.
He would not know it's Sanji. He would. I think it would be to the extent like with Soga King. I think people are like, people haven't bothered like being like, that's Usopp. Come on, Luffy. But with Soba Mask,
that'd be a lie anyway.
Yeah, with Soba Mask, people would be going, Luffy. Sanji would be going, that was just me, Luffy. Soba Mask is just the thing I said once, and everyone's going, yeah, Luffy. He's like, no, you don't have to do that. I know he's a different guy. You don't gotta cover for him. You don't gotta make him say anything like he's our ally. I know he's on our side. You don't gotta say it, Sanji. It's okay. I hope we can meet him someday, though.
Yeah, they should team up.
I heard in the after credits of the Soga King movie, you see the Soba Mask can, and then
repaired.
And then they team up in Soga King versus Soba Mask, but then they team up to fight the bad guy at the end.
To fight Mecha Soga King, right? That's what happened?
Yeah.
And then there's like a whole Hollow Grand Line subplot.
Yes. And Mecha Soga King is just a Frankie wearing a Soga King mask.
God, that's so sick. Why does it sound good? In the upcoming sequel, they team up and then there's like a mini Soga King. Which is just like, what? One of the kids from Syrup Village with the mask on?
I was going to say it's just Chopper.
Oh, that's good too. It's Chopper Man, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Chopper Man, shit.
I'm going to watch that fucking god-awful movie. I don't remember. Did you watch Godzilla v. Kong? That was like a big... Everyone was brain-addled, and it went straight to HBO Max.
I did not watch it, no. I saw a preview and thought, that looks stupid. And now what I hear about what's happening in the next one, I'm like, this seems like, this is going Fast and Furious levels of, like, stupid.
It is.
Which is really funny.
It's crazy. I just, because I remember everyone was like, no, it's dumb fun. And I'm like, no, it's just dumb. But also, you're usually on the same side as me of disrespecting American Godzilla films.
Yeah.
Have you seen Minus One yet?
I have not. It hasn't.
Is it not?
It hasn't.
It's not on digital yet.
It hasn't hit digital, no. This is related to that. Like, the first Slam Dunk only, like, just recently hit, like, street, like, sites and stuff, which is crazy for a movie that technically came out in 2022.
Yeah, I was going to say. Suzume kind of had a long tail like that too, though. Which Suzume, I remember seeing in theaters, and I was like, how is that shit still not out?
Holding out for Godzilla Minus One to hit digital soon, because...
Yeah.
I was busy moving and stuff when it was in the theaters here.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it's not even like... Because sometimes these things will release on digital just in Japan, and then, you know, then there's other ways to watch it.
Yeah, that's how I have First Slam Dunk.
Because I know... What was that? The last Park Chan-wook movie, Decision to Leave, was like released for home video in Korea before it, or South Korea, I guess, before it ever came here.
Oh.
In theaters. So I was like, that shit was floating around for a long time. But anyways, I'm surprised that it hasn't happened with Minus One, though. Then they did the black and white re-release, which I didn't see. Maybe they're trying to figure out how to release both together. I don't know. Anyways, none of this is on topic, but Minus One's a good movie. Cool that Godzilla won an Oscar.
Honestly, the least fun answer is probably just due to like American Godzilla stuff. They have to delay it until after that dumb one is out. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Because of how dumb Maybe. American release stuff is.
That's why I'm surprised it's not even like, I don't think it's even been on like Japanese home video. Maybe I should look that up there. I don't know.
Well, I know
it's impossible to Google things when you're podcasting. So.
We could edit it a little bit, go back to One Piece after this, but I know that Godzilla Monsterverse stuff actually impacted like being able to make movies like Godzilla Minus One because of movies being global now. The part of the like deal was like, hey, you can't make like any live action Godzillas until this. Like it was Shin Godzilla and then Minus One. And that's why there's all those like bad CG Godzilla movies that came out in between because there was
Netflix ones.
They legally could not make like live action Godzilla movies because of the deal with Universal.
It's messed up. I'm glad Shin Godzilla got out of there first.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that one was in far enough along in production before, like, by the time Walter White versus Godzilla came out that they could
still where he has to die 30 minutes in so he can go film the rest of the last season or something.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor Joy as America Man. John Ford America Man.
Yeah, Ford America Man.
I don't think that movie's very good. It's got some good pretty shots in it, but that doesn't... Well, after we do all the Ernest movies on Patreon, we'll do Godzilla.
That works.
I always love to point out to people that, so the first Godzilla movie is this like tragic, almost horror movie of people dealing with this monster. It's like a metaphor and like reflecting post-war nuclear Japan. The sequel's just wrestling, but that came out 9 months later. Like, it's so quickly that they pivoted to it's just wrestling now that it's baffling to me. Anyways. They brought out a little golden Godzilla when they won the Oscar.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't remember what we were talking about in One Piece. Oh, we were talking about Soba Mask.
Yeah.
Which is irrelevant, but I'm assuming Luffy is when he says I'm flying around like Sanji, he means the way that his skywalk that he stole from CP9 or whatever. Bonnie's like, your head used to be huge. What happened? And Vegapunk's like, I trimmed it down. It was getting too big. He says it was almost giant size.
Yeah.
Baffling to think about. My man is taller than Whitebeard, probably. And he starts to describe his fruit, which is the brain fruit. But he bites his tongue because he says it too fast, which is very funny.
It's,
I don't entirely get if there's like a deeper joke there, like to just sounds like he's babbling. But
I think the joke is based off of his design having his giant tongue out, that he bites his tongue sometimes when he speaks.
Maybe he should keep doing it.
And maybe the way brain fruit is said in Japanese is kind of a tongue twister.
That's kind of what it sounded like. But again, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I laughed, but yeah, I don't know that I fully grasp the joke. But someone did point out in their Discord that, like, not only does he look like Einstein, it's like specifically that one picture where he's sticking his tongue out.
Yeah, that's really
which
funny.
Which is funny. But yeah, so he has the brain fruit, so he can just keep memorizing and learning everything, and his brain just literally physically gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's like, so it's still growing somewhere else. And Luffy's like, does that mean you're fucking stupid now?
Yeah, so you're an idiot now that you cut out your brain.
Why did Vegapunk cut his head? Is he fucking stupid?
Yeah.
But no, he says the apple on his head is an antenna, which makes me, I'm like, did he choose it to be an apple? Or is it just what he had? He has an apple antenna, which connects back to the big egg, the punk records, which is where all of his brain information is. And his six robot clones, or I guess just six clones, some of them look like robots, focusing on different aspects of him, and they do six people's worth of work. And they sync up to punk records once a day.
So he's created collaborative cloud storage for all of his brains to work together.
It's both Dropbox and Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Luffy doesn't remotely fucking understand. Jinbei, like, asks some follow-up questions, and Chopper's excited about it because of medicine. He's like, oh, I could learn medicine from this from all around the world. Because Vegapunk starts talking about how he wants to be able to, he's like, I want everyone to be able to connect with it. Like, it's, what if everyone had access to my brain? And then also they can add their own information to it, which is why I say Wikipedia. And he's like, we could just keep advancing science. And Jinbei's like, okay, but what about when someone adds something bad? He's like, what happens when you add an ideology? And he's like, don't worry about that. You can't worry about these things or else you can never advance science.
Yeah.
Fucking Vegapunkenheimer.
Yeah. Science is apolitical.
Value neutral.
So you can't worry about fascism when you're pursuing the efforts of knowledge.
I love that it's Jinbei, too. He's like, okay, but what happens when you hook up a racist to it?
Yeah.
What then?
That's the secret seventh Vegapunk. It's Vegapunk racist.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I actually have a racist clone. He's hidden somewhere. You can't find him.
He's hidden somewhere with a smartphone and a Twitter account.
He's still posting about The Last Jedi. It's weird. After Vegapunk's like, look, you can't worry about these things. You have to advance science. Bonnie's like, fuck you, and tries to kill him with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work because the lightsaber attracts insects. I guess the humming noise of it is what seems to be implied. And then she passes out from, I guess, being swarmed by bugs.
Because she's scared of bugs, like a lady. Ladies are scared of bugs.
That's true. She is like lady. So we cut away from the, well, also, I guess Bonnie's like, look, I'll kill you if you don't fix Kuma. But then it's, that is made a future problem by the bugs.
Yeah.
Convenient way to end a scene. Elsewhere, we see that Shaka takes the captive Straw Hats to what's called the control room. And they just shows on a computer, like, look, here's Luffy, by the way. So now they know where Luffy is. And he's got a little beetle friend. And he's trying to show it to Bonnie, who's unconscious.
He's proud of his bug.
Yeah, his little beetle friend. And Vegapunk's like, yeah, you know, I kind of understand why she'd want to kill me. And he asks Luffy about, like, did I hear that there was another dragon in Wano? And they go through, he's like, yeah, you know, Momonosuke ate this fruit and became a big dragon like Kaido. And he's like, yeah, but it was a failure. And he's like, no, it wasn't. He turned into a big dragon. He breathes fire and do all the other stuff. And he's like, yeah, but what color is it? And he's like, pink. And he starts slamming his head on the ground. He's like, I fucked up. God fucking damn it. Pink. I'm so
fucking useless. I can't get anything fucking right.
Yeah. So I think you made that prediction joke years ago. And you were like, no, it's just because it's pink.
See, that's,
you were right.
I've got it. I've got the future.
You've
know
got
me.
The brain fruit. But yeah, so that's the well, I guess long-awaited punchline that I think everyone kind of assumed. But it's like, yeah, he's also a perfectionist. Makes a functioning lightsaber, but I mean that a failure is a little more understandable than it attracts bugs. But also, I mean, I feel like you could make a bug deflecting thing, pair them together. And then you just have a bunch of bugs around you, but not actually swarming you. Which is also bad for the people you're fighting, probably, with the lightsaber.
Probably, yeah.
Let me in the booth. Let me in the booth with Vegapunk. I'll be his idea guy. Anyways, Luffy's like, okay, well, what about this big-ass robot here? Is this yours? Can you make it move? And he's like, oh, no, that's not mine. And he calls it the Iron Giant that attacked Marijua. My subtitle said 200 years ago. That feels not long enough ago. Did your sub say 200 years? Do you remember?
I think so.
Okay. Maybe it was 200 years ago. Just because I think about the blank century stuff, which is a long time ago, so maybe. I don't know. I guess maybe it was more recent. I'll probably figure out more about that next time. And elsewhere, CP0 approaches the island. You see Lucci pick up his scary mask. And he's like, I gotta kill Vegapunk. I gotta kill him. His big-ass head. And that's the end of the episode. Scary. Does it feel soon that they're already there? I don't know. I've been inundated by the manga for so long that I have, like, no reference for this stuff, but are you surprised that they're already showing up?
I think we've been here for a couple months now. I think it's about time for the conflict to start kicking in.
I guess it's been weird because there was the, like, we took a week off for seeing what Law's up to, and then they did fight one of the Seraphim. So I guess, it has a different, I think, pace in a flow to what a lot of these other arcs that we're used to have. But yeah, also, I mean, they did set up that that CP0 was going to come here, like, before. So, and there, I mean, I don't count it being in the opening as necessarily part of it, but we did see Lucci and the other CP0 members talk about coming to kill Vegapunk. It's time. They're arriving. And after the ending, we now see that Lilith has fully taken over the recap section at the end of the episodes. They hacked in last time, now they're here fully with Edison, and now they're doing the explaining at the end of the episode, and they're talking about this is information from Punk Records, and they give a recap on Dragon, Monkey D. Dragon, to be clear, not Kaido. Did you any chance that you recognize the song playing under this?
I didn't recognize it, but I was going to say the song was awesome.
So this probably, because it would have been spoiler territory, it probably was kept away from you well enough. When the I think it was the first volume of the manga that was fully Egghead stuff. It had a trailer, like a music video trailer for the manga.
Huh.
And this song is made for it. It's called Future Island. It's by Mori Calliope. So,
oh, interesting. Okay, that makes sense.
I was surprised to hear it fully in the anime now.
That's really funny. That does make sense. That it sounded, yeah, that all tracks.
Yeah, so when I heard it, I was like, is this one of Otto's songs that they're putting in? Or is this... Then I remember that there was the VTuber.
Yeah,
I
remember seeing the collab, but I was like, oh, that's One Piece. I'm not going to touch it. I'm sure it's a spoiler.
Well, now you get the payoff. You can go listen to it now if you want to, since you liked it so much from this.
Worked really well as a background music.
Yeah, it sounds almost like out of place because I was like, I'm surprised to hear this in the One Piece anime. But it's bumping. Lilith likes it. So that's it for this week's One Piece. We'll get Jory's always correct predictions for what's going to happen next week. At the end of the episode, after we do our plugs, first we will go through our plugs as we always do. Jory, where could people find you on the internet?
You can find me anywhere Bitakun, that's followable. If you look up Noam Jory and you see that there, that's me. If it's not me somehow, report them because they're breaking the law. On Blue Sky, I'm Jory.zone. That's where you can find me. Don't got a whole lot going on, so don't have much to plug at the moment. Maybe I will in the next coming months. Who knows?
I know the Jory stands are out there praying.
Where are you online?
Social media, Ghost of Joe, Ghost of J-O, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky. I don't post a lot, but I always talk about, I made this documentary, half serious, half kidding. I should have news on that particularly soon. We're reaching the stages of it's time. When I shared the last trailer, I thought it would be January. So if you're interested in those things, definitely, follow, pay attention to those socials. And of course, I mean, I'll mention it here when it's out there for real, but you should be getting to talking about that and sharing it soon. I'll post it in the Discord once probably when the time comes. And yeah, that's my stuff there. You can find information about the documentary now at halfserioushalfkidding.com. It's about a musician from Orlando. That website will get updated when the new information comes out too. I should say one more time that our podcast is sponsored by Tokyo Treat and Sakura Co. This week we had a longer ad segment. One more time to plug, if you want to get $5 off your own first box of either Tokyo Treat or Sakura Co., you can go to team.tokyotreat.com/watchingonepiece or team.sakura.co/watchingonepiece and use code JORYJOE, JORYJO, no space, all caps, to get $5 off your first of either of those two boxes. And those links will be in the show notes as well for ease of access. Speaking of people supporting our podcast, also thank you to our patrons, which we'll do their name shout-outs in a minute here, which is one of your perks as a patron. But for just $1 a month, you can get these episodes a little bit early. You can get our monthly bonus episodes. Those episodes, our early episodes, also do not have the longer ad breaks, so this time we withheld the snacks from you. And that's all up there at patreon.com/wearewatchingOP. So thank you to everyone who supports us there. And then it's Jory's turn, apparently, to read out the names of all of our patrons.
All of our active patrons for this week, thank you to A to Z Couple, Adam B, Adam W, Alex Ali, Anton, Becca, Blue Sunrise, Brittany, Captain Moke, Chad, Chance, Connor, Dame Dala, Damien, David A, David D, Deus Aqueous, Do You Ship Robomaru and Oars? Sure. Eric V, Fig, Forest, Foony, Gage, got it memorized. I don't have it memorized, unfortunately. Neither of us do. Heidi, Jay Harkins.
I put that behind me.
Jacob, Jesse, Jiminy's Journal, Joe, I'm Nori. Joe, Jominy, Jory for Democracy, Helldiver Recruiter, Josh, Junesung91, Kat, D, Kevin, Kofi A. Bissa, Kyle, Lena, Lucas, Luke, Maddie, Maggie, Mallory, Melbeast, Milo, Monkey D. Dragonfruit, Monster Fuckers Unite, Morgan, My Buddy, Nick, Peter, Phoenix for You, Punk55, Toriyama Legend, Riley, Rodsters, Roger D, Ryan, Ryan W, Scribe, Snowy Scale, Space Jockey, Stephen D, Stephen R, Tangle Clappin, The Bussy Bussy No Me, Mythical Model Neku, The Cat Fangs, The Lost Crab Rangoon, Trey, Tristan, Batake, Verdigris, Ya Boy, and then... You just knew Dragon God is power from eating vegan punk soy bussy bussy soy no me. Your other boy, this one is a fail son, so you don't talk about him much. Thank you.
Oh, thank you as always to all of our wonderful patrons. And I think that's everything that we do in our... Oh, I guess I can plug our Discord, which I didn't mention. You can join... There's a link to join that in our show notes and also in our Twitter bio, which I didn't plug. Twitter.com/wearewatchingOP, where I post screenshots of Luffy being confused, and we retweet art of Robin and sometimes other characters. And yeah, other stuff like that. We post. You can find all that over there. But I think that's it for the plug. So Jory, it is now time to give your always correct predictions what could possibly happen after this.
It's gonna be a quick arrival for Lucci. Luffy's like knocking at the door at the building that most of the Straw Hats are in, and Zoro's gonna volunteer himself as like, I'll go answer the door, don't worry about it. And it's gonna turn into like a fixed it's gonna be full 22 minutes of like Resident Evil fixed camera angle of Zoro navigating the facility. And you know how when you play those games, your like orientation changes, so you're holding one direction and it causes you to go back. That's how Zoro gets lost. Is he runs like he's in a fixed camera angle survival horror game.
And it's just, he's just going and Zoro, in and out of the same door or whatever.
Little known thing, he also has tank controls. Zoro operates on tank controls.
That explains a lot, actually. Well, that's true. Zoro's gonna get lost trying to find Lucci. He's just out there waiting at the door, I guess, the whole time.
Yeah.
For how long? And then they never fight.
He's gonna be looking at his smartwatch, which is it's a snail on his wrist, I imagine, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And he's like, damn, Vegapunk needs to answer this goddamn door.
I can't kill him unless he comes and answers the door.
It's vampire rules.
Yeah. That's how it works with assassins from the government. If you don't let them in your house, you're fine. But that's all true. We will watch it next time, next week. And until then...
to be... continued.